KQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Hey, it's Friday afternoon. Fabulous. 12:15, time for the agenda. Michael Knight here in our studios. Looking outside where it's 38 kind of gray degrees today. And I ask you on this Friday, a fractious Friday, to consider this. If it is planted in the ground and grows into a plant, is it a crop? How is it not a product of agriculture if it's planted and grows? It's a puzzlement. That's what Yul Brynner would say, is a puzzlement. I've heard of false news and false crops, but never false products. So a pseudo-crop that cannot say its own name, that's marijuana cannabis, has been unfortunately sidetracked as some local governments try to stamp out the scourge that is the burgeoning cannabis industry. So Chelan County shakes its head no at the exact same time that the entire nation of Canada says, yes, legalize marijuana, let's begin. Colorado did it, New York did it, Oregon did it, California again, Massachusetts. They all joined the legal pot party, many states in full preparation to join. Cannabis now legal in Michigan, Nevada, Vermont, Maine, Alaska, with many states prepared to follow. Even Republican Speaker of the House John Boehner has assumed an executive role as a soothsayer and lobbyist for the product that is sweeping the nation as a recreational consumable. However, for some it will always be a sin and an abomination. For others, legal marijuana is just a celebration of common sense over social mania. With a big upside profit margin that's attracted a lot of attention. In fact, the full attention of Bloomberg Business News as they watch the investment of millions of dollars pour into the cannabis industry. And other elements of the industry have been revolutionized, like customer service. You know what the new buzzword is in the Bay Area? Home delivery marijuana. And it's a big deal developing to a major selling point. Chelan and Douglas counties intentionally insist on being left behind in this run-up to national acceptance. But one way to dynamite a new business is for the personal, religious, outdated, moral obstructionist reasons is to enter the lawmaking and decision-making process. Another way is to recriminalize cannabis. In countless ways that voters have made their voice heard in legislation, they say where communities just keep creating or changing the law. Let's keep it illegal somehow. Keeping cannabis as a marginal, quasi-legal shadow product, trying to thrive when being told at the same time, you're not ag, and you're not welcome here. So there's Don Corleone. Vito Corleone is sitting at the table. He looks around at all his enemies and he said, how did we get so far? Well, let's see if we can answer that question with someone who knows something about this topic. The Central Washington Growers Association representative, who's visited with us before, Caitlin Ryan, is here in the studio. Nice to see you, Caitlin.
Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
What's changed since we last saw one another? What's the biggest change?
The biggest change, and actually you did a lovely summary just then. It has been that in a local situation, we've recognized that we need to get not just at the statewide level, but the federal level, and then moving also forward into perhaps the international level. This is something that's here to stay, not going anywhere. We know that regulations are just going to take a little bit of time, but it's here for the permanent. And so here in Central Washington, with the Central Washington Growers Association, we have hooked up with the Cannabis Alliance here in the state, and we're
is
working.
That national?
So the state, so the Cannabis Alliance is just within the state, and then we have also been working with the National Institute. And we work in acronyms sometimes, so.
NCIA?
Yeah.
No.
So they're really wonderful. So I have been able to go to Washington, D.C. a couple of times and have some representation there. So across the board, the really, really important part is that this is no longer a conversation about shutting things down locally. This is a conversation about how do we move forward with regulations that make sense for communities and businesses, so that we can make something that moves forward, because we are a commodity, and it's here to stay.
I was introduced to this subject through your interpretation and expertise when we first started talking about this matter a couple of years ago. And I understand it that there's really a simple part of it. There's three parts: the farmer, the distributor, and the packager, who's often one, and then the retail. And which parts of those of that equation is healthy right now in the state of Washington?
Retail's decently healthy, but when you have any one of those components that are not healthy, then the entire market at some point is going to suffer.
Going to fail or at least be weakened or vulnerable.
Absolutely. And so right now, the processing and producing side of things is a little bit weak. You've heard news coming out of Colorado and Oregon in particular about surplus of product. That's, we're heading in that direction a little bit here in Washington, but I believe that we have the ability to move in a way in terms of regulations. And one of those things is just getting much more retail shops up and open that can receive product in places in Washington that do not get a lot of service.
Oh, so you're saying that there are counties within the state where retail is not a factor?
Absolutely. We know here that in central Washington, the focus is on the production and processing just because of smell issues. But there are other parts where retail has been shut down, and we've got product that can go out to places, but there's just no delivery system to these areas.
I'm surprised. I thought that there was a shortage on the grower side. I didn't realize there was plenty of product that was still looking for someone to sell it for them, still looking, begging for a store to open somewhere.
Well, nobody's begging, but the thing is, we have a heavily regulated market right now. So when you talk about regulation, that sort of closes down that supply side end of things, and it makes it difficult sometimes to get product to market. And so when we're talking about a healthy market, what we would like to see is anything that looks like any other commodity that is out there, any other agriculture. So if you've got apples, but then you're not allowed to show your apple, you're not allowed to describe what it might look like, market it in any way that is appealing to anybody.
More informative.
All of those things, really becomes difficult, for folks. And so because we are so heavily regulated, it's complicated.
Well, let's look at all the states that have legalized it. I went through a list of them there. Are they all doing it the same way, or are they all doing it differently, one state from the next?
No, each state is doing something completely different. However, some of the similarities that we can see, and in particular here in Washington State right now, there is no pesticide testing or heavy metal testing that we would really like to see some of that regulation move forward in that regard. Oregon, California, and Nevada also all require heavy metal and pesticide testing, and we do not do that here. We would like to see that.
And is that an extra step, or is that a different way to grow or process or what?
It's just mostly just testing so that growers are putting out product that consumers can consume safely.
So given your description, it seems like the farmers, even though they've had some problems with regulation, are providing enough product. It's being packaged and distributed. It's in the stores, but you don't have enough stores to make the product available statewide.
Correct. Yeah. And, depending on where you are at in the state, central Washington, southern Washington, eastern Washington, towards the north, there are places where you would have to drive 50 miles to find a
50 retailer. Miles.
Sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah. Depending on where you're at. But, there are definitely open holes where retailers could be put in, but because of local ordinances.
County ordinances or city ordinances or both?
Both.
Yeah. So they don't want those sales in their town?
Well, I think if they understood, again, the economics of it, and then also that this is not going away. So
well, one thing that does have to go away is apparently there is a stigma.
Absolutely.
That's easy to market against. It's easy to create fear and loathing in the community. They're coming. The hippies are bringing their marijuana and they'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah, well, they were here yesterday.
Yeah.
Actually.
They were here since years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So I think what we want to look forward to is we know this is here. It's going to stick. What are the best ways that we can move forward in regulating this in a way that makes sense?
What would you suggest? Step one.
Step one, and actually we've already moved towards that. The Cannabis Alliance has been working really closely with an organization that is putting forward a cannabis commission, which looks at cannabis as a commodity, like any other commodity. As we all know here, just like the Apple Commission or Pear Commission, that would work with county agencies, state agencies, federal agencies to work towards making sure that we are doing quality assurance for the consumer putting forward a product that everybody can be proud of.
And if you were to compare the product that we would see here right in this town today with what is available in California or Colorado, would the products be the same? Would the products be comparable? Would the products be safe? Would the products be consumable without any question?
Absolutely. This is what is really unique about Central Washington in particular, Wenatchee specifically, that this is a beautiful climate for growing this particular plant. And we could really push forward into the market in a way that would be best for not only the small businesses that are in operation, but then also the community in general. And this commission is great in terms of representing folks, but then also representing the community and making sure that businesses are growing.
Now, you can buy a whiskey made in Tennessee in any state in the union or travel abroad and buy it there. But you can't do that with marijuana. If you grow in Washington, it must be purchased here. It can't cross the state line. You think that'll change eventually?
This is a personal
A look to the future?
Opinion. But, yeah, absolutely. Not representing anybody but other than myself. Yeah, absolutely. We know that this is where this is going. Yep.
And is our product is comparable to anybody else's in the world?
Our product is not only comparable to anybody else in the world, but we have some really great product to offer that is unique, specific, and gorgeous.
Has the public shown you what they want? Yes, we would rather buy this type. Yes, we would rather buy it in this packaging. Yes, we would rather buy it with this name or whatever you do.
We're getting there. So we've got a unique market in the sense that it has moved really, really quickly. We've been in prohibition for a long time. And so then there was a vacuum for quite a bit. And then now we've hit the ground running. And the consumer doesn't always know what they want, but we're getting there.
I think you're right about that. The consumer doesn't always know what they want, but given the number of choices, like if it's edible, smokable, rollable, whatever you want to call it, have they shown a preference for a certain type of marijuana, a certain brand of marijuana, a certain product, a byproduct perhaps?
Again, so our data is only about 3 years old. What we are seeing is a lovely diversity, actually, in all of those.
Does it drive you crazy you don't have the market research that you want?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think everybody in this industry is calling for much more research, which we can't do until we get some federal relief in terms of our ability to do that.
How is your relationship with the county right now? Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, no, we can. At this point, we're kind of on pause. The county has...
Give us a little history. You're suing them.
Yeah, and that is still on the books. But it is on pause. At the moment, we are having conversations and doing our very best to do what is good for the community. I think the county has recognized that the community understands that this is small business. It's jobs. It is a way to move industry forward here, and we have the opportunity here in Chelan County in particular to still be at the forefront of developing a really robust industry.
How many jobs, how many farms are we considering here in this
region? Well, we've lost about 470 jobs in the last 8 months.
Lost in the way they just went out of business?
Well, they went to East Wenatchee, Grant County, other parts of the state, which is really unfortunate because it's close enough that folks can move, but it's revenue that is not coming into the county anymore.
And now that your lawsuit is on pause, and lawsuits take a long time and go a long way and take a lot of money to pay a lot of lawyers, I know you didn't want to do it at first, but you made up your mind to do it. Do you regret the decision to sue, and has it produced some of the results that you were hoping for?
Do not regret the decision to sue. Has not produced the results we were hoping for. We were looking for an opportunity to have a conversation. I think when we had talked maybe a year and a half ago, I had said nobody wanted to sue. This was just a little bit of pressure to have a quality conversation. And we still have not quite reached that point, but I think we can get there.
Who do you have to negotiate with when you have these quality conversations?
Well, that is what we are learning. So obviously, county commissioners. And I think they're learning, and I think that they are open to conversations. However, I think that at the state level, Keith Gaynor was just elected to the House of Representatives, and I look forward to having some meetings with him in Olympia moving forward.
What would you say to him? What case would you plead to Keith Gaynor?
It's not the devil's lettuce. This is a commodity. It is something that especially, particularly here in central Washington, where we have lots of orchardists who are very familiar with what a commodity looks like, that this is an opportunity to add yet another flag in this county's banner of all the things that can be accomplished here.
And to look to the future, as many states have, corporations are getting into marijuana, the marijuana business in a big way, especially in my home state of California, where I've been watching how it's evolving, and it's evolving quickly and at a scale that we haven't seen before in any other state where marijuana was legalized. God knows what they're going to do down there, but they're taking over entire towns in the desert and converting them into growing zones, not farms, areas of count, you know, like a third of a county out in the desert. Is that a danger to your industry?
Not a danger, but I think it's a unique opportunity here in Washington State where we can develop a brand new industry that protects small businesses and where folks can actually develop something from the ground up in ways that in other states folks don't have the opportunity to do. And so here in Washington State, and specifically here in Chelan County, we can support family grows, people that are, you know, took out 5 cherry trees and decided to do a grow to diversify. That is unique here in Washington. That is separate from other states.
Interesting.
So I would like to slow things down, actually, a little bit so that we can make sure that folks have the opportunity to enter the market.
Not to compare the cannabis business to the wine business, but do you see it going in the same direction in terms of people who know what they're doing, getting the right kind of land and growing the right product in the right place and becoming connoisseurs of a certain type of product that can be relied upon that won't grow anywhere else in the world?
There are a lot of parallels there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of folks are looking at that parallel. And I don't think it's a false analogy, frankly. We would like to see that happen here. And specifically here in Chelan County, the way that we can support businesses and tourism would be lovely.
That's Caitlin Ryan. She's with the Central Washington Growers Association. They grow cannabis. We'll be back to talk about what's next on the agenda. Not my agenda, but theirs. And also, where's this going? Is it just going to be an international? I can't imagine some countries organizing a free the marijuana. North Korea doesn't seem likely. But I wonder if it would, certainly it would grow well in Europe, and I just wondered if they're on the same track. We'll come back and talk about those items right after this.
You're listening to The Agenda.
EyewitnessBullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
At 12:39 in the afternoon on a Friday with 38 degrees outside, my very special guest is Caitlin Ryan. She's with the Central Washington Growers Association, the cannabis growers of the great state of Washington. And right now we're in a bit of a sales and production downturn. Can you, you've been through this before, where one end of the schedule is ahead of the other. What's causing the downturn, and what do you see to be the recovery from it?
Well, if you're interested in a free market, what we are running into is just a heavy regulation across the board, not just at the local level, but then also at the state level. And with that regulation means that it's not a free market any longer. So what we're seeing is while the market is, when it opened up, everything moved very quickly. And then what we found was then regulations kind of stepped in. And it's really difficult, especially for a small business owner, to kind of keep up if you've got new rules coming in about every month and a half. Whenever they feel like it. If you have to comply quickly, you can't keep your business open. So there's that side of things. Then also what we've seen is, like we had talked about, there are parts of the state where there aren't any retailers at all. So,
you know, I never thought of that. I did not know that.
Yeah. So there are whole parts of the market where you just can't get product to the consumer. Since we are not vertically integrated, and that's a two-step process to get product to consumers, that can be a struggle. And then especially if we're talking about regulations concerning packaging, advertising, communications, those sorts of things, it can be really complicated.
How many times have the rules changed for the marijuana industry since it was legalized in Washington?
I cannot answer that question because it has been so many times.
Just the regulations keep changing. And from county to county, they might change, correct?
So there, yeah, will be local regulations that have changed dramatically. And then also just at the state level with the LCB, Liquor Cannabis Board is, good grief. Yeah, it's been a bunch. In the last 6 months.
What do you think is the most sustainable model? The corporate model that the bigger states are now instituting, New York and California style? Or the mom-and-pop model that we see in Colorado and Oregon and Washington? Which is the better for the industry?
So I think a diversity of market is always the best model. Protecting the mom-and-pop development as we are like a freight train moving forward at 80 miles an hour. Towards that corporate model, that making sure that the mom-and-pop model still has the opportunity to develop is most important.
You watch the business wires, the Bloomberg Business Wire. They went crazy when Canada legalized because it caused a multi-million dollar dump of financial influential money from all around the world into the cannabis industry that had never quite happened like that before.
Right. Well, and again, that speaks to that speed of, while this is a brand new legal market, it is moving forward at breakneck speed. And so what is happening is at that speed, a lot of that mom and pop development, original development, new innovation is kind of being left behind a little bit. And again, here in Washington State, we have the opportunity to slow it down a little bit. Make sure that innovation from real quality growers who know what they're doing to put their product out on the market, they're kind of getting squashed at the moment because we're moving so far forward so fast. And, again, they're also being crushed by regulations. We need to find ways of making sure that we can open a space to have that diversity of market or else the cannabis industry in general is going to run into difficulties later on.
How do you start a farm? Where do you get your goods? Where do you get your seeds? Where do you get your what sort of soil do you have to grow it in? What do you call the plant? Where, how can you do that legally? How can you bring things across state line to start a new industry? How do you do it?
Yeah, so that's what's really interesting here in Washington State in particular. When you get your license, you're allowed about 2 weeks to buy seeds.
From who? From a seed merchant?
The state basically turns their head to the side.
No.
Uh-huh. And they don't watch. And then after that, after your two-week window. After you get your secret seeds, then it has to be clones, which is fine. However, again, also in terms of just a cultivation perspective, as you know, diversity within your cultivar is really important. And again, back to those regulations. We struggle because we're just being choked by that regulation.
Washington's doing it its way. Every state is doing it differently its way. Who's doing it the best? Whose system do you can you view from outside and say, we need to do it like this?
That's a really difficult question to answer because I don't know that any state is doing it best. I think each state is looking at one another and trying to figure out the best way to collaborate, to find a good way. I think Massachusetts is about to come online, and they've definitely taken their time from adult use legalization to now. They still haven't quite come online fully. They're doing a lot of research, and so I'm excited to see what they're going to end up with. However, I think there are lots of states that have a component that works really, really well. But nobody's gotten it quite right just yet.
And it's just a testament to lawmakers, lawyers, and the human nature for everyone to say, no, I think we'll do it just slightly differently than Colorado did it. No, we've seen the Oregon model, and it's wonderful, but we want to change five things.
Well, and not only that, and I think it's really important for everybody to remember that while this is an extremely important industry, and there's a lot of dollars coming in and out, and then also from that medical perspective, there's a lot of development happening, and then also even from just industry, from a commodity perspective, a lot of development happening. This has only been around as legitimate, and I say legitimate with quotation marks around it.
okay.
But we haven't had the opportunity to really develop this for any less than the last 5 years. So we're working at breakneck speed.
We're in the infancy period.
We really are.
Can't wait till we grow up to be teenagers. Well, that's the voice of Caitlin Ryan. She's with the Central Washington Growers Association. We'll be come back to finish off our conversation for this Friday right after this.
If you're a former SoundPath Medicare member, you may be wondering what to do now that SoundPath has left you without coverage. Here's what to do. Call Health Alliance Northwest.
By trainers and instructors, and they thrive on your success. But the biggest reason is our hospitality. That's the way our people make you feel. Welcomed, cared for, here to help you. Works. Your workout prescription.
News Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:48. I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Caitlin Ryan with the Central Washington Growers Association, the cannabis growers of your great state of Washington. Since we've started talking, I guess we've had about three interviews over the years, and it reminds me that things have changed quickly, but what is stabilizing? What's turning out to be the one thing you can count on in this industry?
It's here to stay.
It's here to, that's about it. It is an industry now.
It is an industry, just like any other industry, however, with regulations on top of it that are really complicated.
Now, if we went across the street to the health food store, we could pay cash or we could pay credit for health food products that are only really available at that store for the most part. If you go into a marijuana dispensary store, a retail establishment here in this town, you have to pay cash because no bank is allowed to use its credit cards for those transactions. Am I right?
Yeah. So I'm actually really excited at this point in time that legislatively at the federal level, we are hoping, I mean, obviously, who knows what's going on, but there's a great bill coming forward that might attend to that banking component that would help consumers quite a bit.
Do the banks want to be part?
They do. They really, really do. Just the federal government has got to get on board. And that also includes research in terms of medical stuff and making sure that folks are knowing what they're getting. And that would be really lovely. And actually, one of the things that would really help with that in particular is we're in the petition phase of setting up a cannabis commission, just like I had talked about earlier, an Apple commission and that sort of thing. And
a statewide commission.
Statewide commission. If anybody's interested in any more information, WashingtonStateCannabisCommission.com is where you can go to get a little bit more information. I would like for folks to take a look at that. That would be a great way to make sure that here in Washington State, we are doing our part to make sure that as this industry moves forward, we get what we need.
I was just thinking about prohibition for alcohol when it was initiated. There was, I guess, 3 years with prohibition or something like that. When they brought it back, I bet you they had all new rules. So we forget about that infancy period, about when people are adjusting to it. What we're in now is the infancy period. In 10 years, no one will even acknowledge that it even happened. They said, oh, that was just the startup blues. Will it turn into a stable industry with national rules and ease of, if someone wants to start a farm, they just start a farm? Right now, if you want to grow grapes and start making the best wine in the world, there's no one to stop you, really. But
I have no doubt.
Do you feel there's someone in your way if a new grower wants to come to town?
That will happen. Yeah, I think there's a little bit of time between now and then. And remember, with prohibition from alcohol, you could have been born, remembered when alcohol was legal, lived your life, and then remembered when it was legal again. We've not had that with marijuana. So in any of our lifetimes, most of us cannot remember a time when marijuana was legal.
I was trying to compare the two in terms of what it's like to re-regulate something. We used to have regulations.
Uh-huh.
Then we made it illegal. Now we're going to get some really good new regulations and make it legal again.
Yeah, and none of us know that in terms of cannabis.
Of course not.
So this is truly, truly a brand new market. We're building it from the ground up.
How many
and
jobs
breakneck
do you think?
Speed.
How many jobs in Chelan County, in an estimate, round numbers?
Well, as we had talked about before, in Chelan County at one point we could have claimed, or not could have, we were able to document about 1,000 jobs in Chelan County at peak harvest. However, quite a few farms, because of the ordinances that have come through, have moved to East Wenatchee or Grant County. And so we've lost nearly 600 jobs here in Chelan County with the county ordinance. It would be lovely to bring them back, but we're in a place right now where that's just not possible.
It's interesting to find the spirit of the farmer is the same everywhere. You can't grow your wheat here. Well, I'll grow it over there. No, we're not growing corn here. Well, I'm growing it across the street then. Farmers are like that. All they need is earth to get going, right?
Absolutely. And that's the thing that I would love to convey, is that this truly is a crop. It grows in the ground. It is agriculture. And again, especially here in Chelan County, a lot of folks just took out a couple of trees and decided to diversify. It is a crop like any other. The spirit of the farmer is, we'll just keep growing it, and it's a shame to see that revenue leave Chelan County.
More to be revealed. Kaitlyn Ryan will be back sometime soon. We'll get to the latest chapter from the Central Washington Growers Association. Thanks, Kaitlyn. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
When shopping for a vehicle, it's important to buy from folks you can trust. Sure, there's lots of places you can buy your next vehicle, but there's very few honest hometown dealerships left. I'm talking about the dealerships